Education and Beyond is brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation.
For Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation includes four important remits, each having their own individual strands, involving a number of measures and policies at a national level, participation within European Union fora, and series of international collaborations. This is Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Programme Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Throughout this series, we shall be looking into the priority areas which underpin the EU and international dimension of the Ministry. Thank you for joining us. In this episode, we shall be discussing the Memoranda of Understanding within the sports sector. I am Julian Stephen Darmanin, a student intern at the International Relations and Programme Implementation Directorate within the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation through the Institute for Public Services Scheme. In order to discuss today's topic in more detail, I have the pleasure to introduce today's panel, composed of Ms. Antonella Gatt, Director of the International Relations and Programme Implementation Directorate, Mr. Darren Katkuti, Assistant Director, and Mr. Norbert Cilia, Senior Manager of the International Relations Unit, both within the same directorate. Before we can get to the fulcrum of today's topic, Antonella, could you start by explaining what these Memoranda of Understanding are?
A Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, is a type of agreement between two bilateral or more multilateral parties. It expresses a convergence of will between the parties, indicated an intended common line of action. An MOU clearly defines how the parties will work together and lays out each one's expectations and responsibilities. The goal is to achieve a mutual understanding of the partnership, so you can move forward into a partnership on a specific subject, where the parameters of such a partnership are clearly defined and based on grounds of reciprocity and mutual benefit. Such a memorandum of understanding is a legal document describing a bilateral agreement between parties which indicates an intended common line of action, rather than a legal commitment. Such MOUs usually have a specific time frame agreed by both parties and can be extended once the MOU expires or terminated by one of the parties when due notice in advance is given. Malta has over the years drawn up a number of such MOUs to provide greater opportunities for local talent, as well as to enhance learning and sharing expertise with other countries. These MOUs with third countries range from neighbours in Europe and the Mediterranean, such as Israel and Tunisia, to countries that are further away, such as China and Qatar.
Norbert, Antonella said that these MOUs can either be done bilaterally or multilaterally, i.e. with two or more parties. But could you explain perhaps the process of creating these agreements?
Certainly. Usually a request for an MOU will be expressed either by Malta or by a third country. The country expressing an interest in signing such an MOU would provide a draft text, which is forwarded via diplomatic channels. The text is then reviewed and certain amendments or changes can be proposed, which are then returned to the country proposing the MOU for consideration. This process can at times be time-consuming because both parties have to agree on the exact text to be included in the MOU, which specifies not only the measures and objectives, but also the duration, termination, how it will operate, as well as finances. Once the text of the MOU is agreed by both parties, it is then ready for signature. Such MOUs are generally signed by the respective ministers of both countries and tend to be signed on the margins of important multilateral meetings, such as, for example, at Commonwealth or United Nations meetings. They can at times also be signed via diplomatic channels, although this is less common. The Memorandum of Understanding enters into force on the date on which the parties have notified each other in writing through the diplomatic channels of their compliance with the domestic law requirements necessary for the entry into force of the Memorandum of Understanding. The date of entry into force tends to be the date of the last notification.
From what has been said so far, these MOUs can also be done within other sectors, including education, youth, and research and innovation. Darren, could you explain to us why this focus on MOUs in sports specifically?
Thank you, Julian. Yes, in fact, this is quite an interesting question. I would say that merits quite an exploration within itself. I mean, sports is one dimension of how we as Malta, for instance, could reach out to other people in other countries and develop a mutual understanding. So sports has to be seen also within the wider context. And there are different ways and methods of how we as Maltese people and also as a state, Malta as a state, we can reach out to other people and communities in other countries and develop a better mutual understanding of each other and also develop better connections through sport, for instance, through culture, through arts. So sports is one of these avenues of how we can, as a country and also as a state, reach out abroad, establish better connections, better understanding between different people, and also potentially then would lead to better communication and better understanding in other avenues as well, such as trade, for instance, travel, tourism. So sports could be one of those aspects how we reach out to other people. And in fact, this has worked quite well. And we've seen that through sports and culture, for instance, we have been able as Maltese to establish common goals and common understandings also with other countries, and using sport as a method and a tool of diplomacy is right now quite a central aspect in how we do our international relations. And when we're talking about this, we're not just talking about Malta as a state, but also within European Union fora, for instance. This is also a means how we as European Union countries also reach out to the international communities, how we export our values, how we export also our priorities such as democracy, for instance, to other countries, and also potentially, obviously, leads to better understanding what are our Maltese and European values to other communities abroad, and obviously vice versa. How also we develop better understanding of other cultures, norms, and values. But it is very important to keep in mind that this is not only done in the world of sport, but also in other areas such as education, youth, research, and innovation as well. Sports and sports people as such are essential in promoting agendas and helping to encourage the positive socio-cultural changes. What we also see is that sports diplomacy helps to erase or to do away with a lot of the differences within the international fora. Sports and international relations can also serve to mend relations and to represent countries as well. The diplomatic role of sports could, for instance, be highlighted through the Olympic Games, which everyone knows about. But for instance, in the case of Malta, we also have the Games for the Small States of Europe, which is also a very important fora of how we bring small states together to share our common understandings and our common experiences, through sport being one of the avenues through which this is achieved. In today's episode, we are discussing MOUs, which is the subject of this podcast. Malta has a long history of drafting agreements with countries related to sport. We do have a culture of placing importance on sports in our agreements, and we nearly in the past 10 years, for instance, we've seen a resurgence of focus on such MOUs as well. This is because not only is sport being given added importance as years go by, but also because cooperation in sport, as I said before, can be a very important stepping stone to building closer working relationships with other countries in other areas as well. So it can obviously spill over then and lead to better understanding in other important priority areas for Malta, such as tourism, for instance, education, exchanges and trade and so on.
Thank you very much, all of you, for your explanation on what MOUs are and what MOUs in sports are. And naturally, this helps us to better understand the importance these agreements have nationally, specifically in the sports sector. We're now going to stop for a short break. Our discussion in the second part of the podcast will focus on what sets MOUs in sports apart and what their continued importance is. Welcome back. You're listening to Education and Beyond. This is a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. I am Julian Darmanin, and in today's episode, we're discussing Memoranda of Understanding, or MOUs for short, within the sports sector. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues arising from today's podcast on our general email, euaffairs.meyr@gov.mt. We also invite you to subscribe to the Ministry's official Facebook page, Educazioni, in order to learn more about our latest initiatives and to visit our website www.education.gov.mt in order to learn more about the services offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, for further information on different MOUs available, you can visit the Ministry for Foreign and European Affairs and Trade's website in their treaties section. Following the first part of our discussion, we shall now focus on what are MOUs in sports and why they are important. Antonella, we now have a clearer picture what MOUs are and why today we are focusing on their role in the sports sector. Could you tell us what set Memoranda of Understanding in sports apart from other MOUs in different sectors?
MOUs specific to sport generally outline the areas in which both parties are willing to collaborate in. Such measures usually include assisting each other in the lead-up to and in preparation of main games, such as, for example, the Summer Olympic Games and the Commonwealth Games, supporting each other in initiatives relating to the organization of training camps for athletes and other professionals active in the sports sector, communicating and cooperating on common values, such as, for example, the need for a consistent application of the principles of fair play at all levels of sports activities, as well as collaborating in the exchange of best practices in the field of sport, and discuss opportunities for relevant exchange schemes. Such MOUs will generally also include a list of objectives to be achieved in line with the measures mentioned, as well as outlining the expected fields of cooperation. These MOUs are important as they garner greater people-to-people exchanges between the two countries and provide additional opportunities for exposure to potential athletes.
We have heard what MOUs are, how they're drafted, and why these agreements are important in the sports sector and how they are different from others. Darren, could you perhaps explain what the continued role of MOUs is in the sports sector?
Yes, thank you, Julian. This is actually quite a pertinent question. I mean, Antonella before mentioned a very important point, the scope of people-to-people exchanges. And that is a central aspect in what we do as a country and our behavior in international fora and international relations. And it's a very important scope of why we engage in international relations. And you could say that the continued role of MOUs in the sports sector, but also in other sectors, is actually to continue building on deepening the people-to-people exchanges and to continue building bridges through different aspects, obviously sport being one of them. So essentially this ties up to what I was explaining in the first part of this podcast, that one of the most important aspects is that as a country, we reach out in order to develop a better understanding of other communities that are both around us in the Mediterranean, but also within the European Union fora, because at the end of the day, we are also part of the European Union, and also within the international fora, both in order to learn from other countries and develop a better understanding of their culture and values, but also to export our values and ensure that in the international fora there is a proper understanding of what we stand for as a country and also what we stand for as Maltese people. So obviously sport is one of those avenues through which we engage in diplomacy with other countries, governments and people. And sport actually can act as a bridge between people and countries from different backgrounds. And we have seen this happening multiple times through multiple avenues. Malta takes part in the Olympics, in the Commonwealth Games, in the Games for the Small States of Europe, for instance, apart from other fora and avenues. And through that, obviously, you develop friendship and a better understanding and also mutual collaborations that then can spill over in other areas. And obviously, through sport, we can apply common values that transcend, for instance, languages, religions, and other perceived barriers that generally you'd have between communities. And also, it could be a way of how also you eliminate misunderstandings or misconceptions, for instance, about other cultures and also about other people. So, in this regard, there's quite a significant merit for the use of sports as a tool of how we extend our friendship and collaboration with other countries. And obviously this has to be seen as a two-way street collaboration. So it's not just about us getting something out of it, but it's also a way of how we contribute back to the international community and also how we extend our cooperation and collaboration for a better, stable international community that is able to understand each other through sport. So it's one of those peaceful methods that we use at the end of the day to export our principles of peace, stability and cooperation within the international fora. That is, at the end of the day, what we stand for and also what is highlighted in Malta's foreign policy strategy as well and our foreign policy outlook as Malta. Therefore, through sports diplomacy, we can see how, obviously, we can strengthen, at the end of the day, international stability. And the viewership of sports, for instance, enhances international relations at the end of the day. And this is quite a proven method of how nations could maintain strong ties between them. So at the end of the day, I would say that it's a mutual relationship that brings people closer together through a positive role model, through participation in sports, not just competitive sports, but it could also be, for instance, exchanges through schools or through organizations, for instance, and assistance in that case. So obviously, the more engagement you have, the more understanding you could have between nations and their people.
Thank you. So, Norbert, we have just heard how sports and diplomacy go hand in hand in current times. Are there any concrete examples which you can give so we can have a clearer idea of how this can be?
Yes, in the history of diplomacy and the history of international relations, sports diplomacy has a prominent role. And one specific example which comes to mind is, for example, in the early 70s, when there was an exchange of table tennis players between the United States and the People's Republic of China. This was during the Cold War, as some people might remember. And this exchange actually paved the way for President Nixon to visit China in 1972 and is seen by many as a key turning point in relations between the United States and the People's Republic of China being better. It was, some even argue that this was the beginning of the end of the Cold War. It was a thawing of relations between these two superpowers. And it came about as a start through sports diplomacy, through the exchange of these table tennis players. In fact, there's a term coined for this specific moment in time. It's referred to as ping-pong diplomacy.
Thank you, Norbert, Darren and Antonella, for your explanation and insight on the memorandum of understanding within the sports sector. You've been listening to Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. In today's episode, we discussed the importance of these agreements in the sector of sport with other countries and how they are essential to maintaining diplomacy and relationships with these countries. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues arising from today's podcast on our general email euaffairs.meyr@gov.mt. We also invite you to subscribe to the Ministry's official Facebook page, Educazioni, in order to learn more about our latest initiatives and to visit our website, www.education.gov.mt, in order to learn more about the services offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, for further information on different MOUs available, you can visit the Ministry for Foreign and European Affairs and Trade's website in their treaties section. Thank you for tuning in.
Education and Beyond was brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation.